Hi, my name is Joseph Lewis.
And I'm LaShonda Lewis.
And you're listening to Life
and Love with the Lewises.
What's up, babe?
Hey, babe.
Hey.
Hey.
We ain't did this in a while. We back. We back.
Hey, y'all.
What's up, Life and Love crew? What's up? What's up? What's up?
So we decided to take a little bit of a break and let you guys chew on the last couple
Man,
of
it was
episodes.
Good. It was like, really good.
They were so good. They were dropping some good nuggets.
When you say they, who? Like the Joneses?
Both
the
of them. The Joneses and the Wells. And I feel like we were very presently surprised by the Wells.
Yeah.
And
I would say so.
The wisdom that they have in such a short time. What was
3 years?
They said like, yeah, 3 years. So yeah, that was real good. And I would say it is worth another listen to.
For real. Like if you guys don't know what she's talking about, it's the last episode before this one. So I think that was like episode 15. And just like some of the things that they went through, I think most couples probably wouldn't have survived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just like but they were poised. They had wisdom. And I think, importantly, they really cared about the well-being of each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like the transparency of that episode was kind of crazy, but it's something that people need to hear. Like, I don't feel like I hear that a lot, especially in the Christian community, that someone is dealing with depression and thinking of, giving up her child.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Nah, ever.
Because we put on such a show sometimes. We put on this show and we act like
everything's perfect.
Everything's good.
Jesus loves me.
And
my life is great.
And he does,
of course.
But I mean, like, you know, there's some real life issues out
mm-hmm.
here. There's some
Absolutely.
Real life things that we go through as human beings. And we have these emotions and stuff like that. And there's some things that's just like, you know, like if you're not hearing it from people, you wouldn't think that's what they're going through.
Right. Because
at the time, and we knew them at the time. At the time, we had no idea.
Yeah. Yes. We had no idea.
We had no idea. And so, you know, our perspective, we're looking at it like, okay, yeah, they're newlyweds. They're in the newlywed phase. But
yeah.
But I don't think without like proper community, without guidance, without going to counseling,
yeah,
you know, taking some of the steps that they took to really work on themselves and each other, you know, that was amazing. That was an amazing episode.
It was. It was super deep. And that's why, even though I know I co-host this show with you, but I feel like this episode, our podcast is so important, and because we get to interview these type of people who have these real stories, and they get to share just the real perspective of marriage.
Right.
Yeah, life and love, you know? And that's what our show is really all about.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I love that.
They helped a lot of people.
They really did.
They really helped. I mean, the Joneses as well. Like, they... just their whole story. I love hearing how people, you know, come together. And he's talking about the Sunshine Girl.
Right. And I think it was awesome too, because like, he's a pastor. And I feel like sometimes when people look at pastors, they have this perspective of them
mm-hmm.
And I feel like he was real. He was
just
himself.
Down to earth.
Yeah. And
right.
he was like, man, look at that girl at the bus stop, you know, like,
right, right. And not being like, oh, holy woman, thou shalt
be my wife.
Thou shalt be my wife. You know, it's just, we appreciate that about that couple.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they dropped some really good life nuggets, man. So I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did.
And if you didn't,
we really did.
Stop this podcast real quick.
And run it back.
Run it back to episode, 13? Episode 13, listen to 14, and then listen to 15.
And hopefully we got the numbers right.
And then come back and listen to this one.
So you want to tell them what happened to us today? Oh, or to you today, I should say.
Crazy, crazy. All right, so we went to this farmer market. Went to this farmer market that was like down the street. I've seen them before. I think Shauna's been there before. Have you been there?
Yeah, to Klein's, yeah.
Yeah, Klein's. Mm-hmm. All right. So I've never been there before, and the kids were begging for a watermelon. I was like, all right, they have watermelons. Let's get a watermelon.
We have money. They have watermelons.
Right. Kids are excited. So I get to cutting this watermelon, and, you know, halfway through cutting this thing wide open, because, like, you can't just, like, slice it. You got to, you know, there's a method to this thing.
Oh,
I'm a master slicing dice. Slice.
Inside joke. We'll have to tell you that one
kids,
time.
We got to get our kids on the podcast because they're here to hear KK go like slicing dice.
What are you telling them all? Oh, Lord. Yeah. All right,
that's, anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm cutting this watermelon and this thing is yellow on the inside. I've never in my life have I ever seen a yellow watermelon.
Yeah, you were like,
it was green. Everything about the watermelon says that it should be red and juicy on the inside.
Yep.
It was green on the outside,
mm-hmm.
yellow on the inside. Like,
crazy.
As if a pineapple and a watermelon like had a baby.
I was like, don't eat it. Don't eat it. And what did you do?
It looked strange. I ate it. Straight.
What are you doing? We didn't look it up or nothing.
Nothing. I trusted it.
Yeah, I didn't. I was like, this is some hybrid GMO type stuff. I'm not eating this. You know?
And then the baby came right along. She was like the kids was all shocked. You remember how I broke it open? They was like, what?
And what did you do?
I gave them some. Like, what you mean?
Lord have mercy.
Look.
Oh my gosh.
If one of us go, we all.
Well, I only took a little nibble. Y'all just ate the whole, just was taking all of them.
You waited like 10 minutes to see if
something
was going to happen.
I sure did. I was like, dear Facebook, this don't look right. What is this? Listen, I don't play. I was like, Alexa, you know. Anyway.
Alexa ain't had nothing to say about it either.
She sure didn't.
It's like, don't say nothing now, Alexa.
But, yeah, we looked it up, and apparently it's
a thing.
It's a real
thing. Read some of the comments.
Thing.
Like, what were some of the, because apparently some of the other people have had.
So one comment was saying it's a yellow watermelon, and, you know, it's, what?
It's, yeah, we know it's a yellow watermelon. What?
And another person said that they're amazing. This person said it's a canary melon and they're delicious.
Canary melon.
And they have lots of health benefits and similar to the taste of honeydew. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. It was very sweet. Like I said, it was like a pineapple and a watermelon had a baby.
Someone says really good. Someone said I'd never seen or heard of yellow watermelon. That was my reaction too. Never ever. This one lady said that my mom said they're originally from Africa and yellow is actually their natural color.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah.
Because all my life.
You had to fight.
Watermelons. Like, I've won watermelon eating contests.
And they've all been red.
And they've all been red.
Yeah.
All the children's books in kindergarten through college.
But.
Say that they're.
You're going to get me on a tangent because you know how I feel about that stuff.
Go there. All the books.
Because the books tell you that that's what something is does not mean that that is fact. Yeah. They just tell you what they want you to think. Mm. And we're just going to end this conversation right now.
No, keep digging. Keep digging.
No. But the friend that told me that what it was called, yellow watermelon, she said that they have bought black diamond watermelons. And I'm like,
black diamond?
What in the world? I've been living for 33 years and I've never heard of this before. But she said that they are the very dark green ones that have no stripes and they're very red inside and usually very sweet.
I've probably had one of those.
Have we seen them without stripes before?
I think I've seen watermelons without stripes.
I feel like I've seen it but never had it before because I'm like, that's weird. I probably had it once. That's not what they're supposed to look like. That's really cool.
All the other ones I've had have stripes, black seeds.
Or no seeds, right?
Or no seeds, the seedless ones mm-hmm. or whatever. And red watermelon fruit on the inside. That's crazy. Blew my mind today, for real.
So this was our discussion on watermelons.
Yep. That's your podcast for the day.
Yeah.
Yellow watermelon.
Thanks for joining, guys. We love you. I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was really interesting, honestly.
Yeah. It was crazy. So, and then what else were we doing? We were trying to catch you guys up.
Yeah, it's only been 1 week, really.
Have we announced to them? Like, do they know? They should know. If you follow us
on our social medias and things like that,
then you would know that we are officially business owners, small business owners.
Now, let's kind of preface this. This is not like our first business.
Not our first business.
So, that's for sure. So, we're technically kind of starting another one.
Yes.
But we're really excited about this one, though.
Very, very.
It's different.
Very promising. And it's something that we're passionate about. So, the business we're starting really quickly is called Irie Cup, the Irie Cup. We're a tea company. Mm-hmm. One thing that you should probably know about us, we're Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Shonda has Jamaican parents. I have a Jamaican father, and my mom is from Trinidad. Mm-hmm. We are very passionate people about tea. Caribbean people are very passionate people about tea. And I can remember at my grandma's house in Trinidad, some of the plants that are outside, she would just go out there, bring them on inside. She'd make anything from like sorrel, which is kind of like a hibiscus type of plant. I can remember my dad's house. We'd have mint leaves growing on the outside of the and mint. If you've ever planted that stuff, it goes crazy.
Oh, yeah. It has a takeover spirit.
Yep. Yep. Black tea was one of my favorite teas.
I kind of want to talk about like the name a little bit. And then I guess we can move on. But Irie, not to be confused with ivory. So it's I-R-I-E. And that is a Jamaican slang.
Everything Irie.
It means nice, good, or pleasant. Oh my gosh. So it's nice, good, or pleasant. So basically when you're drinking our tea, you're drinking good tea, pleasant tea. It's good for you, you know? Get it? Play on words?
It's good.
It's good.
I love it.
So
like the first time I heard that name when we were sitting in the parking lot.
About to go to the pool. It was so random.
And we were like, man, we want to do this tea company, but we don't know what we want to call it. And, you know, we were asking our kids and kind of like throwing different names around.
Yeah, they had like beautiful tea. We were like, it's cute, but.
And then we were just like, Irie Cup. And I remember my first reaction was it made me smile.
Yeah.
Because I know what it means. Mm-hmm. I can connect with it. And hopefully we can help, you know, you connect with it. So that's going to be launching in October.
Yeah. So we'll be telling y'all a little more about it because it's not just like regular chopped up tea that you would find at the store. It's more of a high quality tea.
Oh, you can't get this at Walmart.
Yeah, no, you can't. So, yeah, we're really excited about it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So that is our shameless plug. Let's move into the topic. All the money in the world. What would you do with all the money in the world?
I would pay off debt, become debt free. I would donate to a charity. I would give, definitely. And I would buy us a house. I was kind of like, that was kind of hard. Either I wanted to purchase some land and then, you know, build a house, or if I wanted to buy a house. So one of those two.
I would do a lot of the same things. Of course, pay off some debt. Of course, buy another house, probably a bigger house. But I'd also buy a segment of land in a popular area and charge like different businesses rent to build there and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like I would do that. But that's totally different than what I would do if it was like 10 years from, you know, 13 years, so like before we got married. Mm-hmm. If I had all the money in the world, and even more importantly, like, I don't think I had this perspective when we first got married, which we didn't really talk about a whole lot when we first got married. We didn't talk about finances, probably because I wasn't making a lot of money.
Well, I think for me, I wasn't even really thinking about money at all, honestly. I was just so, oh my God, I'm in love, and you know, our love is gonna make everything work out. Like, I just knew that I was in it to win it with you, and just wasn't thinking about money.
Yeah, really. We wasn't really thinking. Like, we was like,
that is not the right thing to do.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. That's where I was, I should say.
It was definitely something we had to grow into and mature.
Yeah. I mean, when you're seeing bills coming in the mail and, you know, things like that, it gets real. Like, we were so strapped. Like, after we had our daughter, we had to get on WIC. No, we were on WIC before because they were helping us out, that was a really great program, you know, for people that really needed it. Really is a great program. Mm-hmm. I wasn't working, like, from the beginning of our marriage, but yeah, there were bills. We had an apartment and we were using electricity and all that stuff, so
yeah, it got real. It was kind of like we didn't focus on it because, like, really there wasn't a lot to argue about in the bank account. And so we took care of the essentials, you know what I'm saying? Like, we would, and it's not like that for a lot of couples starting out. I recognize that our story is, even though there's some people that can connect to it, there's some people that's like, well, it's not like that for us. Mm-hmm. But our story is like, it wasn't a thing until we really started to make a little bit more money and have to really, like, make some life direction choices and stuff like that, in terms of where we lived, what we ate, the type of things we wanted to buy, different pursuits or whatever. I would say once we started getting into some of the higher dollar purchases, then you would start to see some of the conflicts or even some of the daily decision making and stuff like that. But that didn't really come like till later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what was the aha moment for us when we really was like, we need to sit down and do this together? Like, the budget.
The aha moment was the year that your father passed. Actually, what was that? 2015?
Yeah, at least.
When we realized that a couple of his things happening, you know, with the finances, his wife at the time, she didn't really know anything that was going on, like with the finances or the insurance or like things like that. And I was like,
and that's a hard time to really start to connect the dots and mm-hmm. and really start to, like, okay, let me get this in order, because you're grieving, you know,
and
what I'm
you're
saying?
Kind it's of like, working, you know, backwards.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So like we came away from that and we were like, okay, we really need to sit down and really just, like, think about what we are doing together and you know, in terms of, like, the money and stuff like that, in terms of planning, in terms of budgeting, in terms of, like, having access, even access to the accounts.
I was just going to talk about that because we were running into, like, I know when I stayed at home in the beginning, it was a struggle for me to, like, I remember I felt like I had no ownership of anything because I'm like, I don't have a job or no income, so they can't add me onto accounts. Or, like, it was really weird in the beginning. And so we just, like, quit trying for years.
We just didn't.
And then after that point, I was like, oh, nah, bro. Like, we've got to get me on just everything, because if anything happens to you, they're not going to let me on there because I wasn't added as an authorized user, even though I'm telling them I have his last name, I'm his wife. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was definitely crazy.
And like they make it hard too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably have security protocols, security measures or whatever, prevent against fraud or whatever.
Yeah, you would think though, like, hey, I'm trying to pay this person's bills. You're like stopping me from paying bills. That's I never heard that before.
No, we don't want your money.
Keep that over there.
No, yeah. For sure though. Like it really was a wake up call. We really started putting some things in place in terms of like making sure that she had access to the accounts. Making sure that now this was a thing for me. I was like, I guess I was of the thinking that, because I was the man of the house and stuff like that, I gotta make sure that, I'm really making like smart decisions in terms of the monthly bills. Sometimes like I would make sure that most of the bases were covered. And if we missed one here, we missed one there, or maybe we paid one bill a little bit too late or a little later, but at least we had something else covered. But it was just like, okay, you're putting out one fire, but you still got this other fire going on over here. It was a lot of pressure for me to really think through a lot of that stuff by myself. And not rely on, you know, my wife to help guide me in some of the things that we should be doing. And so, and then at the same time, so me recognizing that I probably should be doing this with her was also like, it was weird because it was also contradictory because like sometimes I would be like, I don't want to do this. And it was not out of habit, but it was because sometimes it would be uncomfortable conversations. And a lot of times she wouldn't agree with the way that I was doing things. And so sometimes change is hard. And sometimes coming to the understanding that you don't have it all figured out, is tough to deal with.
I think that's really big of you and mature of you to kind of like say and admit. That's pretty awesome.
Well, you were there. It wasn't a pretty process.
Like, it sure wasn't. I was just like, why are we doing this then? Like, you see the evidence, sir. Let's just, you know. So yeah, it wasn't pretty, but I think over time we learned how to work together though, because that was something that we had to learn how to work together.
Yeah.
Because when I tell y'all again, like, we have to come back to the personality type thing. Like, it made
a huge
difference for us.
Who you are, yeah.
And working together. Because sometimes I'd be like, oh, he just doesn't want to hear from me. Not understanding that he's a certain kind of way. He's very, you know, traditional, and he likes things a certain way, and I'm more like, oh well, this idea is really cool and it's kind of far out there, and he's just like, oh no, I've never seen anybody else do it like that. I'm not
quick
doing
to
it.
Shut it down.
Yes,
too.
Like, oh my gosh, he is. And I'm just like, can I finish my sentence? Like, so we had to learn, and I think now it's been real good. And, you know, we're still kind of working on consistency, but it's a lot better than what it was before.
It takes discipline. It takes discipline. It takes being on the same page, because otherwise, without those things, then you get the arguments, you get the differences of thought, you get differences, differing opinions and all that stuff. And sometimes, like, there's one person that may be an impulsive type of spender, where they see something, they want it, and they get it.
That's me sometimes.
And I can be like that sometimes as well. I'm more of a window shopper. Like, I'll I'll look at something 20 times before I buy it.
Oh, wow.
And then there's sometimes where I'll just be like, nope, I'm getting it. And I just pull the trigger.
That's true. Because so I remember sometimes I'm like, why would you wait to get it? I know personally it's not going to be there the next time you go to the store. I know it. And you're just like, no, it will be. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is driving me nuts. That used to drive me crazy. Because it really would be gone the next time. And I'm just like, that was real nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think just now there's a lot of things that we do differently with money than we, and it's been a process. And I think that's, if we had talked about money like this and known certain things, like this, you know, in the front of our marriage, I think we'll be a little bit further along where we are right now, which we are not in a bad spot. No. You know, I think, for that statistic where, you know, the rate of divorce is sometimes caused by money issues, mm-hmm. or money issues one of the main things that cause divorces, among other things.
You're right. To your point, like if we would have talked about finances earlier on in our marriage, it would have made a difference. I feel like a lot of that has to do with our upbringing and the transparency in our upbringing. I feel like we didn't really, and I'm not to like blame our parents or anything like that.
Right.
But because who knows what they knew about finances that they could have passed down to us to kind of put us in a different headspace or place, you know what I'm saying? You know, to be marriage. And when I say that, I don't mean like a handout. I mean like knowledge, education, and just simply like credit. Mm-hmm. My goodness, we could have a series, right, on just credit alone and. Yeah. You know, things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, there's some people who go into a relationship with a checklist and say, okay, his credit's got to be this. He's got to be making this much money. He has to have established this, this, and that. He needs to have such, you know what I'm saying? Like there's some people that are heavily focused on that. And sometimes they end up eliminating half of the people that would be interested in them.
Would you say that that's like their values is something that's just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, tying back to what you were saying with their upbringing or even, and I think part of your, once you leave high school into your college experience, that's part of your upbringing as well. It's like mm-hmm. some of the first things, your first experiences or interactions, being independent. For most people, you have hard lessons with that. And sometimes if you get hurt enough, that will be the thing that you value, that you place a priority on. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, I don't think it was like that. I think we had a priority on our head was in the clouds, but like our priority was not that. We didn't, and not to say that it wasn't important to us, but it just wasn't at the top of our list.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you know, nevertheless, it is a very important part, a very important part of going through preparing for marriage or whether you are married. And mm-hmm. We know a couple that was married, that's been married for like at least 15, 20 years
mm-hmm.
that just started doing budgeting together and being transparent with the finances or giving up, you know, or being open to the opinions of their spouse.
Yeah.
And just the direction of, you know, the spending of the money or having insight, one spouse having more insight into the financial status of their household. I think it's super important. Dave Ramsey has 7 tips for a healthy relationship. And I do want to go through these real quick, because without even reading these, and it's like I said, it's taken us 14 years to get to this place.
14 years.
Well, we coming up on 14. This is year 14 for us. We just celebrated 13.
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess if you look at it that way, you almost got in trouble. I was like, you think you,
we 13 in like 3-4 months. See?
Mm-hmm. That was a good catch, Joe.
Uh-huh. You got like yourself. That catch? You like that rebound?
Wow.
All right. So the first one, real quick, keep a joint bank account. That's something that we didn't do right away.
No.
I think a couple years in, we got a joint bank account, but we had one. But all of our bank accounts, we've made the decision to make all of them, you know, equal access. Or
yeah, I remember you had yours.
Yep.
And I was like, one day I was just like, how about you put me on that account?
Right.
And I remember you were a little apprehensive. I was like, what's the matter, boo? You were. I was like, okay. I am your wife. I said that a lot.
I know, right?
And you're like, and?
He says some couples may think that it's the best way to avoid a money argument is to keep a separate checking account. But he tends to differ with that. And I would agree. Mm-hmm. I would agree. Marriage is a partnership, you know, and if you're fully transparent with everything, and you know, your wife should be able to go into your bank account and see what's going on or whatever.
Right. I feel like if you were to have a separate, you know, bank account, which some things work for different people, you know, like say for instance, there was a point where we had our joint account together. Mm-hmm. And again, I was a stay-at-home parent and I felt like, okay, maybe, you know, what if one week I wanted to get some shoes, or what if, you know, I wanted to get some things for myself. What I called it was spousal support. I called it that. I thought it was cute.
You didn't see our money as one.
What do you mean?
Oh, go ahead.
I did see it as one, but I felt like I kind of wanted to give myself an allowance. And so every time that you got paid, you would put little bit of your check or the check, whatever.
I probably owe into you some back spousal support.
That's right. I like that idea. I think you should pay up anyway. So, and let's put that on the record that he said that, y'all. I did not say that. We would put some aside, and that was for me to, you know, do whatever I wanted with that. And I think that's okay. That's something that you had access to, you know? So it wasn't like it was separate. You can't look at you know, my balance. You mm-hmm. can't look at my history or anything like that. It was full transparency.
Yeah. Yeah. He says here, the second point, discuss your life choices together, which is that should go without saying, but believe it or not, there's some couples that don't decide to, you know, talk that stuff through. And
can you explain that a little bit?
Well, I guess like, you know, when people, I guess if one person, and this again comes down to personality types. One person is more outgoing or a free spender. They don't have a problem just like spending stuff. Mm-hmm. The other person is more of a planner or whatever. And let's say person A or spouse A wants to sign up for a membership subscription that's going to cost like $2,000 because it maintains a certain status with their coworkers or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And this other person is just like, why do we even need that? That's a waste of money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's an argument waiting to happen. Rather than discussing why you want this. Why do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, why, and getting some kind of buy-in or saying like, you know what, we don't need this. You don't need to be like everybody else.
And that's some, that's kind of like a situation that we kind of had, during earlier on in quarantine when we were home. We were talking about, you know, taking that class. Do you remember that? The, master classes.
Oh yeah.
And we were like heavily considering it. Mm-hmm. It was either that class or a different class. And we were literally like pros and cons. And like, mm-hmm. we were like, let's not do anything. Let's not let them rush us. And we were like, took our time. And all in all, we decided not to do it.
Yeah.
Because it just, it wouldn't fit our lifestyle together.
Right. Right. Recognizing your differences in personality. I think we hit on that.
Oh yeah. We hit on that all the time.
Number four, don't let your salary differences come between you. Now this can be
interesting.
Well, not just interesting. This could be like, this is where some of the fights happen where it's like, okay, I'm the man, I make the money, you know, so this is how it's going to go. You know what I'm saying? That's an argument.
Because of paper.
Yeah. Because your salary is bigger. Or, let's say you're the, you know, does that make sense? Like
it does make sense. And it doesn't, just because of the person that I am. Maybe, you know, I that's a lot of pride and something that you could lose tomorrow.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. But I think that sometimes the salary differences equates, for some people, equates to how much say you have in making a decision. Mm. When you're in a marriage, when you're a couple, it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
You all should look at it as one pot, as one bank account. Like, hey, look at the money that we made together.
Let's grow it together.
Right. Let's make a decision together. Yeah. It's not, okay, I make the higher income. And so, you know, whatever.
You follow suit.
Yep. Keep purchases out in the open.
We're working on this one.
Man.
Yeah, because I sure enough did buy, what was it, like a shirt? No, I think, was it pants?
No,
it was a mug.
I'm not petty.
No, you're not petty.
I'm not petty. I'm not going to be like, you bought a glass or a shirt.
But if I bought like a car,
Shonda,
how would that's a lot.
If you went,
but I mean, but you can't hide a car though.
No.
Yeah.
Who you buying cars for?
Myself.
But that's why you should keep purchases out in the open, because like, what if, you know, you, that person buys something for somebody else, or they going, you know what I'm saying? Like you, for real. You going?
Yeah.
When you ate $100 worth of food at Red Lobster?
But that's what you do. Like what I did. Remember when I was talking about how I went through your phone bill? Oh. You go through that bank account at line for line. I'm just kidding. Let me stop.
Look, I think two places that if you are an honest person, if you have, you know, honesty in your marriage and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Two things that a wife or a husband should be able to look through with no problems is your phone and your bank account.
So what do y'all think about that? Your phone and your bank account. I really do want to know. I really do want to know.
I think that's two places that if you're doing everything you're supposed to do, you're a good husband, you're a good wife, you know, you're not cheating, you ain't got nothing to hide. I think those two things are... For, you know, I think those two things are two things that at any given moment you should be able to look through and be like, okay, your phone, your bank account is good, you know, whatever. It's not like you're trying to audit your, because that's one thing I hate is, mm-hmm. if you just like sitting there interrogating me and all my choices.
Right.
That's not cool.
Yeah. We don't have time for being a parent to your spouse. Like, that's too much work.
It's a lot of effort.
Yes.
Then number six, he says, set expectations together. And that's where a lot of confusion, a lot of disagreements and all that stuff comes in, is when there's no expectation on how you should spend money, where mm-hmm. you should spend money, what's the priorities in the house. I think if you set expectations and you make plans together, then when one person decides to deviate, you're like, hey, but we have a plan, whatever. You know, you get to hold each other accountable rather than being, you know, after having an argument after the fact.
Right. That's like that car example I was talking about. Like, if I were to run out and purchase a car,
I'll be like, what the heck is wrong with you?
Honestly, because like, I don't even know cars like that. Is it cute? Does it run?
That's the first question. Is it cute?
Am I going to look good in it?
Oh my gosh.
You know, so it's important to talk about it together because you're the car guy and is it cute?
Is your first question?
Is it large? Like, I want big cars.
And the final point from Mr. Ramsey, from Dave Ramsey, don't let the kids run the show. He's hear him out. He's saying your kids are always constantly begging you for the latest video games and all that stuff. I could see this. Well, this is not happening with our kids. Our kids are pretty young and they don't, in the grand scheme of things, they don't ask for a lot.
No, they don't.
They're really good kids. Mm-hmm. And we give them everything they need and all this stuff.
Well, I mean,
need.
They
not
are
want.
Asking us for a hoverboard right now, which is $200.
That's a want. So. That is a want. Mm-hmm. That is not a need.
Yeah, but you never know. They might get it for Christmas or something.
Well, Sammy got a bike. He got a really awesome bike. That was a need because
we all have bikes.
His bike was getting pretty messed up, but. Dave Ramsey was saying, don't let the kids run the show. And I think for some people, they can relate. And this goes all back to setting an expectation, you know, coming together, talking about it, making a plan, deciding together on what to do, what to get, what's a need, what's a priority, what's a want, what's something that you can do to earn the money that to get what you want. You know?
Yeah.
So, and that's something that we're constantly trying to build in as parents and stuff like that. So some things that we know now, and these are definitely great tips from Dave Ramsey, but, there's some things that you're not going to know, like right off the bat, there's some things that you're going to learn along the way.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of situations that you can start with. And, you know, and ultimately, as you all become one and you're blending, you know, your lives together, your, you know, the way you think and all that stuff, it's going to look different for every couple. But one thing should be the same is that you guys should be communicating at the same level, because all the money in the world can't fix bad communication, can't fix you know, just disagreeing on the basic levels that comes from a lack of expectations being set. You know, like, you can have all the money in the world and they won't fix that.
Yeah.
It's just paper. See, you the free spirit. You the one that's just like, go out and spend. Don't let me come back home and see a large, cute truck or something.
And a new couch.
And a new couch. While we at it. What do you mean?
You know, I need this couch, Joe.
All right. Life and Love community. Let me know what you guys think. Did this help some of the experiences? What did you guys come in? What were some of your priorities when you first started a relationship? How has it changed now in your relationship? How do you guys operate with money and stuff like that? Let us know in the community.
Yes. Just to remind you guys, you can connect with us on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you're not in our community, like Joe said, go ahead and join the Life and Love community within Facebook.
Yep. Hit Facebook the like groups. Page, mm-hmm. enable the notifications, all of that stuff.
All right, Life and Love fam. Catch you guys on the next one. Bye.
All right, Joe. Bye.